1 minute and 13 seconds after the hour of 11 in this month of March in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along, making a fun of your listening day. We are live from the... Oh, that ain't right. Oh, look at...
Oh, you can't blame it on Delana either.
Delana. Hey, Scotty, pleased to be... So sorry, Chip McGinley. Scotty, pleased to be bringing me some... Some paper towels.
Sorry, Jeff. It's on right.
Sorry about that. It's like the third time I've done it today. I went even out of my driveway this morning and I poured hot coffee into my pants. That's always a great way to start the morning.
My bike was in the way and Tim also spilled coffee on himself.
There's something wrong with this coffee. It's not so much this weird.
I get hooked on a handlebar.
I'm hooked on a handlebar. Thank you, Scotty. Oh, it's ruined my notes. How will I ever provide entertainment to the people now? I'll never. Why, I'll have to freestyle it. Or whatever. Whatever the kids say. Thank you, Scotty. You just continue. Scotty's now wiping down the counter. Wiper! A little Coming to America humor.
Thank you, Scotty.
Thank you, Scotty. God bless you. We're going to have you come back in like 5 minutes. I'm going to steal more stuff. That was genius. Well done, Rick. Way to really get the show up to a roaring start. I wouldn't even... I didn't even have the excuse of driving the truck this morning. Because, you know, the truck...
Oh, did you bike ride?
No. Oh. Yeah, I was bike riding while holding a steaming cup of coffee. That's how I always try to pedal down the street. No, are you crazy, though? I drove my car. It's not my fault. It really isn't my fault. I do wish to bike ride. It just doesn't happen a lot. It's very difficult. Because sometimes I'll have the, like today, I have an appointment at some place at 7 o'clock. And you don't know, usually I leave here at 5:30 or 6. And then there's just no time to go home and get the bicycle. So this is no time. Get grains of salt. So no, I was in, the focus this morning. Cup of coffee. And of course, I have a travel mug. I have it's a really great. Lara for my birthday got me this full on, like, industrial strength, like military grade thermos, like the actual brand name thermos coffee holder, which is fantastic. I mean, it cost a pretty penny, as they used to say. She gave it to me, and it has like three different settings, you know, one that locks it shut, one that allows you to open it, one that allows you to drink, keeps coffee hot for like 9 hours, something like that. And of course, I've lost it. She gave it to me like a week and a half ago. Can't find it anywhere. No idea where it went. So I'm doing what I always do, because I am a hick. I'm backing out of there. And what am I wearing? Bright white shirt this morning. Wearing a white shirt.
Did you get it on you?
Well, not that you can see. I didn't get it on my button-down. I'm sure this is fascinating for everybody. I didn't get the coffee on my button-down shirt this morning because it's time to play exactly how trashy is Rick Emerson. This is how trashy Rick Emerson is. And then we'll go back and we'll tell you what time it is and the year and the Lord and the hey-hey. And then I should tell you this right now. It's 11:04, 5, 12, something like that. Coming up at the bottom of the hour. I was going to post this on the blog, but there was no time. No time. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have a special guest who's going to be joining us on the Rick Emerson Show. A guest whose identity I cannot reveal.
But you all know.
Okay.
I think you should have, yeah. I think that you chose wisely.
That's fantastic. I just revealed the name of the mystery guest, and I was unsure about whether to let it go over the air or not. And so
are
I
you
just
sure you caught it?
You know, the great thing about this dump button is sort of like bulimia, in that it lets you indulge in the thing, but then you can just make it all go away. Then you on, and Ty says, and that's all right.
Yeah, the relay's turned on.
All right, thank you. And this is me. This is not me listening on the air. I'm standing in the control room, 5 feet away, watching the host do the show. The host asks the producer if the delay is on. The producer says yes. And the host, this is my first introduction to this station, which was in Salt Lake City, by the way. My first introduction, I walk in, and the host goes, "With God, just F off and die." I'm like, hangs up the phone. And then he must have just like leaned over, then pushed the delay button. But I was like, what kind of crazy radio station? This is the best radio station ever. So that was my first exposure to that. So the delay, you got to be real careful. You just become dependent upon that. Anywho, it's 503-733-2970. So coming up at the bottom of the hour, a special guest will be joining us. In between now and then, I have a cozy 18 minutes to think about what I'm going to ask him. So I don't look like a nitwit.
Oh, you're going to.
Big thanks. Thanks for that. Why are you going to do that? Why are you going to make the choke? Sarah's over there going, make it the choke gesture.
But
why do you have to do that?
Seem pretty confident. I don't know. I don't know what I'd say to this person. Because you know he's smarter than you.
Well, that's true. That's not really a short list. All right. Well, whatever. Before we do anything else, let me just tell the story about me being trashy. So here's how trashy I am. So I'm going to back out of the... First of all, I'm not bicycling, I'm driving. I've lost in my thermos travel mug so that I don't spill coffee on myself. So what have I got? I've got, and you know this mug, Sarah, it's a little coffee mug that says, Las Vegas! And then it has a diamond, a club, a heart, and a spade. And I think
you
got
me one of those.
And I think you got me one, too, didn't you?
Yeah,
didn't
I
you
got
buy
you
me the same mug?
Yeah.
Anyway, and then I have this white button-down shirt on today, but it always gets really wrinkled, and it's because of the sitting and then the seatbelt wrinkles it, and I wanted the shirt to stay unwrinkled for as long as possible. So what am I wearing when I get in the car? I swear to God, this is what I'm wearing as I get into my car this morning. I've got my jeans on. I've got just like the wife beater white undershirt and then the black leather jacket over it. So I look like some guy who's running the numbers in Brooklyn. Some guy named Vinny. Wife beater, black leather jacket over the wife beater with my Las Vegas coffee cup as I get into the car. I was all about smooth.
You're all clean.
I was all about being a sex machine. And so I get into the car, not even in the street, backing out of the driveway. Coffee spills, bam, onto my pants. Yes, my crotch burned. So there you go. So that's me. And then the shirt is still goddamn wrinkled. Yeah, right now. That's exactly how trashy I am. All right. 503-733-2970. People are calling about things. I don't know why. Well, we'll take these later. Or maybe not. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you doing over there?
I'm doing well. I had sausages again this morning, and
I think
it was a mistake.
How many?
I had six.
Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah, I guess Scotty did the four.
How many? Did you make him beg? Sit up. And you just threw them into the air.
And they're the light ones, so they aren't really that bad for you.
How many?
It was 100 calories for every three.
There's 10 sausages in a package?
That's like 200 calories with the sausage.
All right. Well, that's not too bad. 200 calories isn't even, that's not that much at all. That's what I tell myself when I eat a bag of that Chex Mix, that chocolate Chex Mix, which is only 210 calories a bag.
Yeah, I thought you said you were over it, and yesterday I just saw you shoving bag after bag into your face.
I had three bags of it yesterday.
Are you serious?
I'm totally serious.
You need to get back on the bike, Mr. Risen.
Shut up. You should tell me about what I need to do, woman. I had three bags of that chocolate Chex Mix yesterday. Oh, I don't deserve to live. I really ought to become bulimic. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today. So before that, I was reading a previous interview with this special guest you're having.
Uh-huh.
And maybe can use some of these questions. He said in the previous interview, I swear if I ever get a new show, I'd have a monkey.
Really?
Why a monkey? I tell you, if you're watching something to do an interview, it'd be funny if I had a monkey. Do you think people would protest the monkey? I think I've received protests, but if the chimp was unhappy, I'd let her go. I like monkeys. So,
we can talk.
It's a talking point.
We can talk about monkey love.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, let me write it down.
Monkey.
Don't throw these away. These are jewels.
Mm-hmm.
Monkey.
Or minky, as Peter Sellers would say.
Monkey.
All right, fantastic. Well, as far as the news goes, John Edwards stays in the race even though his wife has cancer. Some sick Portland pets are linked to that pet food recall. And Dove Lewis is treating a sick pussycat, which may be related. Call me master and Aberdeen man gets prison time for keeping a teenage sex slave.
All right.
What?
What?
I'm sorry.
You need to pay attention, Rick.
No, I was just looking at this lightning.
Call me master. An Aberdeen man gets prison time for keeping a teenage sex slave.
Aberdeen.
Yeah.
That's really the worst place to be a sex slave. I mean, really. I mean, if you have the choice, I'm not.
Well, there are links to Tacoma.
I'm not. Oh, well, that makes it better. That gives it that hint of sophistication. Really, I'm probably not good to be a sex slave anywhere. But really, if you had your choice, if you had to be a sex slave either in Tahiti or Aberdeen, really, I think everybody comes down on the same side of that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be distracted by the calling you master. Somebody just sent me this. Lightning passes through a woman's anus.
You've had that before.
What do you mean, like you personally?
Well, no, we had
having food poisoning?
It's not the first time that that's occurred. We had the story before.
But I wonder if it's the same story. I wonder if it's the same story or if this is a different woman and the same, a different anus. Anus, they hardly knew us. It's been a while since I did that. It's 503-733-2970. Fantastic. All right. Well, before we do anything, well, let's see what the hell this person is talking about. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
This is Kevin.
Hi, Kevin. How can I help you?
Real quick, this is Reverend Seth, but I just picked up on a little tick that you have when you're asking for the phone number.
Uh-huh.
Or asking for people to call you. This is Rick, 503-733-2970. That's 503-733-2970.
I do insert an in there. You're right. I do it in the email thing.
It's hard to deal that. I tried it.
I'm sorry, and what?
It's hard to deal that. I tried it. Scotty suggested it. Didn't work.
It's hard to what?
To deal?
To deal the
Dial the
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't prepared for humor.
I wasn't trying to.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's good. Because fortunately, there was none. So, thank you, sir. God bless you. Yeah, I waited on hold like 15 minutes to say that. Fall farther and farther behind the Japanese every day. It's 503-733-2970.
See, now you're all self-conscious. That's 503-733-2970.
I only do it the second time, though. 503-733-2970.
It's like when you insert your casual to make it sound like you're more relatable.
Shut up! Give away my trade secret. Now, if you hear those, I don't really do it. I don't even like script them out or anything, but you'll hear those commercials that are different from regular sort of pre-produced commercials, which are like, come on down, sale this weekend, save. And then you'll hear mine that I do for, like, Wild Bill's, I do that, and I do one for medical hair restoration, the pre-recorded one. And it's really just because I go in there and I'm completely unprepared. And they just put the microphone in front of my face, and the script, they go, let's hear some talk about medical hair restoration. And I really have, I just never know what the hell I'm doing. And so it's just a lot of, hey there. You know, and I never know what the hell I'm talking about. All right, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. See, now I can't do it. Now I'm trying to do it, and it doesn't work. All right, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have a very special guest who...
apparently, he did have a chip named LC on one of his shows.
There's a little hint. This mystery guest number one, did you once have a chip named LC on one of your shows? Yes, I did. I could give it all away right now without using this person's name. Without giving away the identity of the mystery guest via his name, I could actually give it away right now. There's one thing I could say. One thing I could say that would give it all away. I shall not do that. It's 503-733-2970.
Jay Leno taught him to work hard.
What does that mean?
That's what he said.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't even know what we were doing here. I had something I was going to go to, but now it's gone. Oh, except to say this. Before, and then we're going to bring Scotty in real quickly, and then we'll take a break.
Then it's time.
I got to come up with what the hell we're going to ask the mystery guest at the bottom of the hour. Mystery guest coming up today at 11:30. So we got to break.
Why did you send to the right?
So we got, that's what, at 11:20. So we got to break at like what, 11:22, 23, somewhere.
Yeah,
like that. All
right. It's like in 3 minutes.
All right, so we got to. I'm just going to say this very quickly. I won't reveal. Speaking of people whose identity I will not reveal, I won't say who this is. But last, what, about 2 weeks ago, Sarah was supposed to go to jury duty, and we had that whole day when we were afraid that she was going to get sent to the who's gal, that you were going to be put in the pokey because you didn't show up and so forth. And we did that whole thing where I called up and I pretended to be professional, and I said, hey, we are unable to excuse Ms. Dillon because her loss for even a day would be an unacceptable hardship to the finely tuned, well-oiled machine that is CBS Radio Portland.
Katie Carrick, you can have.
She requires $14 million to go there, though. And everybody will leave the courtroom. I don't know. The courtroom was really packed with spectators before. Now they've all gone home. I'm sorry. Was that out loud? So I'm not going to say who this is, but we do work with someone who came by my office yesterday, stuck his head in the door, and he's like, hey, do you still have that letter you wrote for Sarah Dillon to get her out of jury duty? Yeah, I got that crap tomorrow. I'm not going to do that. Screw, and this is his final parting phrase, screw that civic duty. I'm not going to. At least Sarah felt conflicted about it. This guy who we work with just stuck his head in my office door yesterday. Goes, do you have that jury form, the thing that you use to get Sarah out of jury duty? Can you give that to me? Screw that civic duty. I'm not going to that crap. And I said, no. And he goes, fine. And then he just left. So I will not reveal who that person is. Except to say that it was Dennis. It's 503-733-2970. We should break in just one moment, but before we do anything else, let's...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to that squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty. End of message.
Why, hello there, Scotty. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Today's great.
Scotty does look better today.
Now, when you say great, do you mean great
feel
or do you
great.
Mean terrible?
Feel great.
You look at you look legitimately great today.
Yeah.
You don't look as though you feel terrible.
No,
you're not
good.
Covering it up. It doesn't
no.
look like today's not a functional addict day. Is this because you have to match wits with the fourth grader later?
Yeah, I really had. I went to bed at 7:30.
No. All right, I didn't. Are you prepared for your spelling bee against Susan Reynolds' fourth grade daughter?
Not really.
Okay. Would you like to rehearse with just a couple of words? Because this may be the last chance. We're going to be very busy. We got the guest, then we got Lisa Goddard, then we got the news hour, and we got the top five, and then Pitchmarker's going to stop in here.
I'm kind of playing the Democrats advocate today. I've already accepted defeat.
Now you're just.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Now you're just trying to use a malapropism. That one doesn't count. All right. Well, let's give Scotty a test word. I'm just going to pull a word. Is out of thin air.
How about easy word? An easy word.
Okay. How about, let's see here. How about manipulate?
M-A-N-I-P-U-L-A-T-E.
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
M-A-N.
No, you don't. See, but you don't get to start over.
I don't know how a spelling bee works.
See,
that's why I write it out. It's easier.
You're not allowed to write anything out.
Manipulate.
You don't.
M-A-N-I.
You don't know how to spell manipulate. You just misspelled
M-A-N-I.
It.
M-A-N-I.
That's just Manny. Okay.
P-U-L-A-T-E.
No.
No.
That's how you spell manipulate.
No, he threw in an extra I the first time.
Oh.
Did I?
In any event, you don't get three attempts at it. It's a spelling bee.
Dump it. Let's try that word again.
Yeah, I'll be sure to dump it.
All right.
Let's do, Sarah, do you have one? What's a reasonable word for Scotty?
Phenomenon.
That's
phenomenon.
Tough, but it's P-H-E-N-O-M.
No.
Ah.
Wait.
Yeah.
No, that's wrong.
Is that wrong?
Wait a minute. See, she's writing it down. P-H-E-N.
I'm not writing anything down.
Uh-huh.
O.
Uh-huh.
M. No. I.
No. Thank you.
Okay, E.
Let me ask you this just before you go, because the spelling bee against the fourth grader, and that's a phrase I never get to.
Oh, you got a break, Rick.
I know. But where do you rate your odds of coming out victorious? 50-50?
Probably about as good as the Democrats winning the presidency this year.
Sorry.
I rate my odds as pretty bad. I think I'm going to be badly beaten.
Okay. As long as you're done with it. Thank you, Scotty. I'm going to take a break here. Special mystery guest around the corner. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson Show, 503-733-2970. Making a final note to myself. Chimpanzees. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, around 11:45, we'll talk to Lisa Goddard. From CNN Radio on Capitol Hill. Later on, Jim Roop from Los Angeles. We'll have Susan Reynolds' fourth grade daughter, Lucy, in here to do the spelling bee face-off against Scotty J. and so forth. We'll set the top five. Tim Riley with the AM 970 New News Hour and so forth. Let's see if we can solve some of this email. Rick. About listener, we'll talk about listener party 10, which is coming up, and we don't have time to talk about this a lot. And where did my story about? Hold on, my story about the barbs and the penis went away. I don't know where the hell I put it. You think?
Is that really what you want to be reading? As the special guest is on hold.
The special guest isn't on hold yet. He's not on hold.
Oh, he's 30 seconds late.
And I think he would appreciate it. I think he would appreciate the barbs and the penis. I just don't know where it went. I got to make sure that I don't lose it because I wanted to get it read today. And it doubles as our penis watch. All right. So we don't have, and we're in that. What are you doing over there? You're making the.
I'm excited.
You're giving me choke signs.
I know. I like messing with you because you always pull it together.
See, this is what you do. You screw with me whenever there's a guest coming up, somebody that I don't wish to look like an ass in front of. When is the last time I really flat out looked like an ass in front of? I mean, and a guest that I care about, like Carrot Top, it doesn't count. I don't think I've ever, like, flat out, full on.
We've had some pretty bad interviews, and some of them are. The ones that I recollect that went bad, but went poorly, weren't your fault.
No, I don't remember
you
any.
You do pretty. No, you do well.
What interviews have we ever had that went poorly? You can name names. Oh, yeah, we can't name that name. Okay, sorry, but I'm sorry. That was a terrible thing to do just now.
Yeah.
That was an awful thing that we just did. It was a terrible radio moment where I asked her to say something, and then she mouthed it at me, and we can't say it.
Because I know exactly.
No. We can't. You're right. We can't say it. But as far as actual celebrities that people really care about, I don't think...
Yeah, the others went really well.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and then I will read these emails, and then, Scotty, and if he's not on the warm line here in a couple... Oh, that might be it. The warm line is ringing. I was just going to say this. The thing that I wish we had on a t-shirt, I was telling Laura this the other day, the thing that I wish we had is that, I don't even want to say it because I think I might unveil it. I think I might wear it at the listener party. I don't know what the theme is going to be yet. We don't know what I'm going to be wearing. But just a t-shirt that says, Tina Yather thinks I'm autistic. You know what I mean? It's like those I Kissed Justin shirts that they used to say because of NSYNC or Justin Timberlake. I just want one that says, Tina Yather thinks I'm autistic, which is fantastic.
That is a brilliant idea.
Because it's genius even if you don't know what it means. It's true. And it's a non sequitur. All right. And this is all true, as Eddie Izzard would say.
Because you want to talk about the penis barb story? Or
no.
Should we get right to it?
Trying to look sophisticated. I'm trying to look cosmopolitan. Stop it. We should have been coming out of a story about the GATT treaty or something. Hey, it's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It is time to welcome to the Rick Emerson show a man who needs no introduction, but for whom I will now give a lengthy introduction, sounding my best to sound unforced and natural as I do so. For my generation, probably the definitive host of Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update. Also, you saw him on HBO's Dennis Miller Live. He created or at least solidified the idea of the rant in American iconography and pop culture. He's a celebrated stand-up comic, a best-selling author. And as of Monday morning on this very fine radio station, the host of the Dennis Miller Radio Show, which will air on this radio station beginning Monday, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show the one, the only, Dennis Miller. Hey, Dennis, how you doing, man?
Ricardo, thank you for the nice opening. I'm sitting here in a T-shirt that reads, Michael Gross thinks I'm pre-Alzheimer.
Well done, my friend. And game, set, and match. This is a true story, by the way. I just wanted to say this, that we had Tina Yather's in the studio, and she was here pushing, it was a trim, fast, spa, whatever, so the diet thing she was here for.
All right.
We're talking about family ties. And I made, she referenced some episode, and then I, in this sort of weird, just reflexive, spasmodic thing that geeks sometimes do, I just spat out, like, the episode title and the number and a million other incidental details about the episode, thinking that it would impress her. And we go to a break, and she pulls me aside, like, with this real tender, sincere, genuine concern, and she says, yeah, that's really great that you knew all this. I mean, are you autistic? And she said with just like the sweetest voice, just a voice like a mother asking if you skinned your knee and need a kiss, you know?
She thought you were like Rain Man.
I don't think it was like Rain Man. I think she expected me to be wearing plastic pants that rustled a lot when I moved.
Well, it's my single favorite moment in all my years at Saturday Night Live is when Shatner did that sketch about the Trekkies, and Lovitz was standing there in that mock turtleneck communications officer shirt. He had the big ears, and he asked Shatner such a specific question about Star Trek that it's actually frightening, and they cut to Shatner, and he says, get a life.
I just remember, see, I'm doing it again. I just remember that scene where Shatner looks down and goes, and you there, you must be 40. Have you ever been on a date with a girl? And Lovitz just kind of looks sadly at his feet. Just the body language telling it all. All right. Well, let's talk about you, man. You've been first question, and I'm not saying this to blow sunshine, but I've been in radio for a fair amount of my life, and I remember my friend Todd and I years ago, and I'm talking 94, 95, talking about you and SNL and the HBO show and the rants and all of that, and saying, well, you know, why don't they give this guy a show? Why isn't this guy doing a radio show? So why 2007? Why did you do this 10 years ago?
Well, 10 years ago, I was still on HBO, and I mean, you know, that was a tough place to... I did 9 years there. That took up a lot of my peak earning years. And then they offered it to me a while back, and I just remember thinking how imposing it was to fill 3 hours a day. But then the more I traveled and the more I started listening to radio, and they said to me, why don't you, you know, give it a listen, get more familiar with the medium, I remember thinking, you know, this might actually fit my profile a little better now because my politics are kind of quirky and all over the map. And I found it harder and harder in 5 and 6 minute TV segments to really get my point across. And I thought, well, that's a more extrapolative medium. Maybe I'll go over there and try that. Plus, you know, the idea in my, I'm 53 now, of you can do a radio show from anywhere. It's
right.
For TV, I got to go into L.A. every day. And, you know, to go on the road gets brutal after a while. And I just didn't want to turn into Rick Springfield.
Are you going to stay on tour? Are you going to still do comedy shows?
Yeah, I'll do comedy here and there. But listen, it'll be the difference between picking and choosing and have to, you know?
Right.
I mean, I was out there like the seven little foys, for God's sakes. And I, you know, woke up in the middle of Pennsylvania one night and just thinking, God, I don't know if I can do this like when I was a kid anymore. You know, I'm in this hotel in the Pennsylvania Dutch country, and I'm thinking, it's time for me to hunker down somewhere.
We're talking to Dennis Miller. His new show debuts Monday, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. is what it's going to be.
Give me a tip, brother. Give me a tip on filling 3 hours. Just give me some, you know how in golf they have swing thoughts. Give me a swing thought on how to fill 3 hours a day.
I find that when in doubt, you can always just say, hey, whatever happened to, and then just reference something that strikes a nostalgic chord with a good section of the demographic, and then it just feeds upon itself. Then it just becomes what, if you can get on there and go, whatever happened to those GoBots? Those were a wacky toy. Who remembers GoBots? And then the next thing you know, man, it's like 100, and this is my bread and butter, and I'm one of these people. It's 100,000 guys in shirts that have B.A. Baracus on the front. And that you can, if you can make those people happy, my friend, you will never have to get a real job for the rest of your life.
B.A. Baracus. Beautiful pull on Mr. T. There, not many know the character. What was Dirk Benedict's character name?
Dirk Benedict was Face. He was Face, is what his name was.
Look at you.
See, that's the autism kicking out. I can't take any credit for it. To what extent did you feel like this is a good time to do it? Because it's, you know, because we got the 08 election coming up. Did you figure this is, because you took a lot of flack from people who felt like that you were liberal and then now you're conservative. But
yeah, I'm still liberal on some things, but the war on terror, I'm not. You know, and that disappoints a lot of people. I don't quite know what to say there. It's like Giuliani's line. I really appreciate that when he says, it doesn't matter if we've declared war on terrorists, because they've declared war on us. And whether we like it or not, we're in this right now. So that's kind of the pragmatic approach I bring to that. And I sometimes look at America and I think, I can't believe everybody's not like aware that we're in the fight of our lives with radical Islamic fundamentalists. Now, but it seems like it's not at the tipping point yet. You read that book, and I guess we're not quite at the tipping point yet.
Well, I get this whole thing where I kind of dislike rednecks of any stripe. If I see some guy with a stick beating a woman because she wants to learn how to read, that's a redneck, you know, and I don't care. It doesn't really matter where he lives. From a comedian point of view, from the point of view of an entertainer, who do you think is going to provide the most? Who's the most grist for the mill, as it were?
Well, I hope Gore comes riding in over the horizon, because I always find him right. But there's nothing I enjoy more than escalating temperature figures from a guy I've already deemed to be a sweat act. I think if he rides in at the last moment like the cavalry to rescue everybody, there'll be that moment where he comes over the horizon and everybody will say, look, it's Al Gore here to save us. And then after he'll open his mouth, and 5 minutes later, everybody who was expecting Forrest Whitaker will get Larry Storch is Agarn, you know, with a hat on sideways, and people will just be disappointed. You know, I love that Gore sits there and talks with such a high degree of certitude about temperature figures in the year 2057, yet when he had his time up at the plate and he was running for the presidency, he had to consult Naomi Wolf for $20,000 a month on what color shirt to wear. But all of a sudden, he's very, you know, prescient about the future. It's just grotesque to me.
Do you ever get told to dumb it down? Do you ever get to look at just, if you could just shave about 20 points off the IQ, this will play in Des Moines.
Well, I don't know. Listen, this is the one monkey trick I have, and maybe it doesn't put me at the summit of Everest, but it puts me at the fifth base camp. I've been doing it for around 25 years. It's bought my family a house. This is all I can do. It's, like I said, my one monkey trick.
My friend, it's like you are singing a song for all of us in this room here. I know we're short on time. There's a couple things. First of all, talking to Dennis Miller, his show is going to debut Monday, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on this very fine radio station. People tune in. They saw the HBO show. Maybe they saw you on SNL. They read the book.
What's the show going to send us? Is it going to be you talking, a guest, or calls, or a mix of all of that? Or just,
well, listen, I've been listening to it to see if the wheel can be reinvented, and guess what? It's like Monday Night Football. It can't. It is what it is. I think the mix can only be added to with... it's my take on things, my sense of humor. But what are you going to do? You're going to take a few calls. You're going to have a few guests. Probably set some topics at the top of each hour, you know, like the soup of the day. And then you, I don't know. I like taking calls. I did a Jim Bohannon show one night for 3 hours. And then the last hour, I just took calls. And when I was thinking, how do I fill this? I can see now that it all happens as it happens. You can't premeditate it. You get some very, just when you think the callers are like frightening and you think, my God, that last caller really scared me. It was so weird. And the next person is so lucid and erudite that you think that surprises me too. So I'm just going to play it by ear. But it'll be pretty much the same form as anybody else. It's just my take on it as opposed to somebody else.
So, well, Hannon shows especially because every third caller's got some sort of itchy, dry rash that they want to get some sort of ointment for.
Well, we had a theme night, a psoriasis theme night.
Final question. This is just from a total fanboy perspective. The thing I want to know, you hear all of these stories, and Aaron Sorkin's show has talked about this a lot, and 30 Rock. Is SNL really just this sort of viper pit that it appears to be outside, or that it's kind of rumored to be? That nasty place to work?
Well, Carvey called me 5 minutes after Sorkin's first show went off, and I don't know if this makes it a viper pit, but he said, do you ever remember it being that empathetic? And I said, no. It was like gladiator camp. I felt like Woody Strode. They put me up in front of everybody, and this is a kill zone. This is a wound zone. It is a tough, tough place, and it's not about us going off into corners and quote, you know, that might have worked for Martin Sheen's character on The West Wing, where he talks about a boy out there on a carrier deck in the middle of the night holding that flag. But when you start transposing it to a comedy show that's on once a week, and quite frankly, is a really brutal workplace. I mean, you screw up 3 weeks in a row there, you're gone. They are strict adherence to the Peter principle. It just didn't, you know, the tinsel didn't hang off that tree well. It wasn't that heartfelt, and it killed me that Carvey, I hadn't talked around 2 weeks, called me right after. He said, what kind of dreamland was that, for God's sake?
Fantastic. All right, Dennis, thanks. I know you're a busy guy today.
And, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Dennis Miller, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, sir. Dennis Miller, the show starts Monday, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on this very fine radio station, the Dennis Miller Radio Show. So there you go.
How cool was that?
I didn't choke, you damn woman.
I was supportive. You saw me jumping up and down my chair.
It's true. No, he was, yeah. Boy.
Oh, my God.
How freaking bright is that guy? Seriously. I mean, and it's true. It did no lie.
I'm going to wake up at 8 a.m. to listen to his show.
And that story I told may have sounded like it just I was blowing sunshine, but it's totally true. My friend Todd and I driving around 10 years ago, and we're like, all of these jack holes being given a radio program. Like, why isn't anybody giving Dennis Miller a show? So.
Oh, and now you can impress Lisa Goddard before they put her on hold.
It's true.
And you can tell that you just talked to Dennis Miller.
Absolutely. So there you go. All right. It's 503-733-2970. See there? Happy Scotty. He did a little Al Gore bashing for you there. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome down to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent, Lisa Goddard. Hey, Lisa, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
I have no idea what to say. I'm sorry. I was just...
Rick
just
said, what's going on over there?
He just finished interviewing Dennis Miller.
Are you guys drinking? What's going on?
I'm drunk with excitement. That's what I'm drunk with.
Oh, I knew you were going
to
say something.
I was trying not to find such a ham-handed way to try to sound it like I was trying to impress you. Here's what I almost did just now. I say, pulling back the curtain, here's what almost happened. When I picked the phone just now and you said, hey, how are you doing? I almost just went... I just talked to Dennis Miller. Like, that's what I almost did. I almost just said, just like an idiot Chris Farley on SNL. Do you remember when you were in the Beatles? I almost just did that. No, we actually just now, for, I don't know, 10, 12 minutes, we had our good friend Dennis Miller on the show. He's going to be joining the station lineup.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I feel like, you should just go with the afterglow then. How'd it go?
It's good. I've been a fan of that guy forever. So many, and I hate the fact, I mean... There was no way around it, and I didn't want to just sort of gild the lily for no reason, but I said what maybe, you know, you probably don't want to hear as you get older, but I said, you know, for people in my generation, he is the definitive SNL weekend update host.
And then, of course, the HBO show and Durant and all of that. But, I mean, the it's not like he was the first smart stand-up comic ever. I mean, far from it. I mean, there's a million. There's Bob Newhart. There was, you know, Lenny Bruce in many ways. There was Carlin. There was, you know, a million guys who were smart, but it's...
Dangerfield, yeah.
Yeah, Dennis Miller's particular, not this didn't go on about Dennis Miller forever, but Dennis Miller's particular, his thing, his sort of wheelhouse, which is hyper-literate, hyper-pop culture-oriented, a million bizarre metaphors and analogies. I mean, you can hear that guy's influence all over me and a million other people who kind of, you know, grew up or came of age in the last 15 years. So it was cool to talk to him, and it's cool that he's going to be, you know, that he's going to be coming to the station. So anyway, so that's how my day went.
Wait, what does that mean? He's coming to the station? What's going on?
He's going to be actually from the fine company Westwood One.
Hey.
Westwood One is actually, as of Monday, the Dennis Miller Show will actually be broadcast on a number of stations.
Oh, I get you then. Okay. That's great.
Including our humble little home here from 8 to 11.
Now, how does this affect Don and Mike? Is there a whole rejiggering going on?
Yeah, that's the technical term. There's a whole kerfuffle that's happening. Now, Don and Mike actually follow us. Don and Mike are later in the evening. It's a whole lot of... It's kind of a 10 pounds of mud and a 5-pound sack here. There's just not enough hours in a day for all the quality we give to people.
No.
Anyway, so that's cool. So if I sound a little schoolgirlish and giddy, it's because he chuckled on a number of occasions, and it sounded legitimate. He sounded sincerely amused by this. So, by this program.
See, I am here to give you the Austrian hill for you to spin around and sing on. That is what I'm trying to provide for you. That's what I feel. I do. I feel a very Sound of Music vibe coming from you, spinning around.
Now, you have to be really honest with me, Lisa.
Yeah.
Are you using that analogy right now because of Dennis Miller? Is that your attempt at a Miller-esque metaphor?
Oh, God. You know what? Subconsciously, it might have been. I don't know. I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, no. It's fine. No, I do it all the time. You have to use it with a sort of you have to do it with a sort of a smirk in your voice, and then you end it with, like, chachi, you know? Hey, babe, I'm just happy that I can be the Austrian heel to your Baroness von Trapp, you know? That's, or whatever.
Oh, we're got it.
I'm such a pretender. there is a hideous Photoshop of me out there somewhere, by the way, of my face. I forget why this even happened. Somebody on some webpage somewhere did create a Photoshop that is me, like my face on Julie Andrews' body. in that sequence, what? Twirling around on a hill from the Sound of Music. I swear to God it's true. I swear to you on everything holy. It was on Fark.com at one point.
That's bizarre. The universe is coming together in this conversation in a frightening way.
Pretty soon we're all going to fold into a singularity. All right. In any event, hey, well, we were talking, and we had Dennis, we were talking about politics and 08 and
right.
Whatever, and Edwards is doing this. Now, I thought his wife was better. I thought that she had, I thought she had had cancer, but it was fully gone and cured and in remission and all that.
You know, that's how cancer works, though. You can have cancer, like, say, breast cancer. So what Elizabeth Edwards has is breast cancer. You know, they go in, they find the tumor, and they take it out through whatever means. They treat you, and then they run tests to see, is there any cancer left? And those tests show, no, you don't have any more cancer. But the trick is that cancer, since it's abnormal cells, there can be just a couple of cells in there laying around that these tests don't get.
Right.
And so that's why you have to keep going back and seeing if anything's popped up and see what's going on. You know, and of course you can always get another recurrence or another incidence of cancer in the same body that's not connected, but maybe it's connected to, in general, to how your body functions. But in this case, it's hard to say what happened, but it seems that some part of cancer, whether it was related directly to what Elizabeth Edwards was first diagnosed with or whether it was a new occurrence, it seems probably that it was a small amount that was related to what she first had, somehow got into her bloodstream and somehow got into her bone, specifically into one of her ribs somehow. Right, and I mean, the thing is that when you have breast cancer, the best case scenario, which is still, of course, not all that great, but you can get through it, is if you have a tumor in your breast and you can have that removed. Well, then after that, if it spreads, often they test the lymph nodes first, see if it's there. And then if it spreads in the system, sort of a middle case, as one of our experts explained it, is to have it go into your bone. After that, if it hits into your organs, that's what really would concern doctors. If it was a problem, particularly in your liver, your kidneys, those kinds of things, that's real trouble. But if it seems that it really is a small amount in one of her bones, and possibly some in her lung. They're checking that out, but they think it's an insignificant amount. Anyway, the idea here is that they can treat it somehow by controlling the cancer that's in the bone. Now, that is where you're going to lose me, because the doctor here did not explain this. They kept saying again and again, this is not curable, but it is treatable. It's like diabetes. And I think that's a new concept for a lot of people. I'm not clear on exactly how that treatment works, but they say she can have this treatment and that people who are in this condition can survive for many, many years. It really depends on the person. Some people don't take well to that treatment. Others do. But the Edwards obviously hitting this just like they did the last one, right, looking in the sun, trying to be as positive as they can.
You know, cancer is just the worst thing in the history of everything. I mean, it's just the worst, and I'm not trying to be flip about that. I mean, it just, I used to say that I just sort of hated cancer, that I just hated it with everything in me like it was a person. But it's really not even that. I think it's just, I'm not saying anything anybody doesn't know, but it's just terrifying. It's just,
it is
just this terrifying, it's like this alien. It's like some all, when I think about cancer, I think about like Independence Day or War of the Worlds or just one of those huge, implacable, unstoppable alien ships that's just approaching towards Earth that you just can't do anything about. That's what I feel of it, because, I got the whole the family history and the bad town, and, I got a whole radioactive hometown that I come from. And so it just is just the worst thing ever. So why isn't there, I say, asking you a question you can't possibly answer, we got a goddamn war on everything else in this country. Why isn't there a war on cancer? And I mean that sincerely. Why hasn't somebody, and by somebody I mean George Bush, stood on television and said, starting tomorrow, war on cancer. I don't even care if they can't solve it right away. I just want someone to say we're doing it.
Well, we're teetering dangerously close to another West Wing reference. I think that there are people who are calling, we've got a drug czar, we've got all these czars, want to have a person that's in charge of the war on cancer. There clearly are huge federal resources going into cancer research. NIH and others are leading that, and a lot of private companies who want to be able to find the drug that's going to do it, because that would be just a massive market. If you find the cure for cancer, not only have you saved lives, but you're going to make a lot of money. So there are a lot of people working on that, but you're right, it's not like there is one giant federal push the president or politicians have pushed.
Just infuriating.
Right, I don't know why that is. But I think that with cancer, the funny thing is a lot of people think of it that way, as this creeping monster, this dark thing. And, I think the hope is that with Elizabeth Edwards, that what she's saying, that maybe we will start getting to the point where cancer is more of a chronic disease. Of course, every cancer is different. It's different in every body. And I'm like you, we've just found out in the last year, I thought we were cancer-free, and just in the last year, we've had all kinds of cancer problems in my family, and my mom mentions, oh, yeah, she starts mentioning all kinds of relatives that have died from cancer we had no idea about, and it can really haunt you. But I think that the medication is so much better now. The survival rates, especially for breast cancer, are so much better. But you got to stay on top of it, because it is. And people don't really understand why do these cells, why are they abnormal? Why do they grow differently than other cells? It's not clear.
Well, this has not been a tremendous pick-me-up.
I'm sorry. No, from Dennis Miller.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what to tell you.
Dennis Miller making family ties jokes to cancer.
Well, I'll tell you, the funny thing was, after they had this announcement, first of all, Politico.com came out saying, oh, John Edwards is going to suspend campaigning.
I was going to ask if he's still going to run.
How about that? No, and they were completely wrong. They totally fell on their face on that and have generated a huge heated discussion in CNN radio, because CNN told us to report what Politico was saying, quote Politico.
Right.
And we were all like, come on, they're blogs, they're new, we don't know. But after that, I was poised to my microphone, I'll go down to the senators and ask for their reaction. I was waiting for the news conference. And he says, no, I'm not changing my campaign. And I'm not really sure what to ask the senators then. What do you think about Elizabeth Edwards having cancer?
That's an awkward situation.
Okay, that's a little awkward. Are you happy for or sad?
Tomorrow, let's just talk about ice cream.
Tomorrow you've got noodles will be in.
Well, really? Bob Costantini?
He's got...
I spell fun, B-O-B.
It's going to be a ton of fun, and it's going to be crazy news tomorrow. We've got the voting on the Iraq supplemental in the House, and I'm so mad I could have spent an hour railing on this, the D.C. voting rights bill. Hello? D.C. still doesn't have a vote, but the House is talking about giving them one. It's interesting, though, Republicans are saying it's not constitutional to give D.C. a vote because it's not a state.
I think it's great that a station in Portland, Oregon is your outlet for rage about D.C. statehood issues. It really is great.
What I covered today is actually Portland is almost the exact same size population-wise as D.C. So imagine if you didn't have a vote. Anyone in Portland and you know, you imagine if Congress was running Portland.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, that's enough to scare you.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Lisa, well, I'm sad that we won't talk to you tomorrow. I'm sure that we will have speaks with you then next week. And I look forward to Bob Costantini because he is what puts the spring in my step and the dip in my hip. So
he's a barrel of rebus monkeys. Anyway,
we're done. Thanks, Lisa. Bye now. Okay. And we're done. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. He's a barrel of rhesus monkeys. It's the kind covered in chocolate. What an interesting show it's already been. It's 503-733-2970. We got a break now because we're like 100 hours behind. We'll be back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth and so forth. Jesus God, don't go anywhere.